through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Pete Carroll talking to the media at Seahawks headquarters. We'll take you there right now.
With the Vikings, they're 1-3. Obviously, the record doesn't look great, but when you look at the talent they have, what do you see out of that team?
Yeah, they played a tough schedule, John. They've had good teams that they played. They've been in the games. They can do a lot of stuff. They got big-time firepower on offense. This is a defensive scheme that we've always respected because of Coach Zimmer and what how he does it. Very difficult to get an edge on their defense. They do such a marvelous job of mixing stuff, and they're really schooled at all of that. And so it's a real tough matchup anytime you play these guys, because he's got a great team and they always play well.
Curtis?
Yeah, Pete, have Jonathan Bullard and Damon Harrison both done enough for you in practice this week to show that they're in a place they could help you if you need them this weekend?
They both have been able to get the work. It gives us the chance to choose. Yeah, that's where we are. You know, what to do with those guys, and we'll play it all the way through the weekend. Make sure, till Sunday before we determine what we're doing there for you guys.
Corbin.
Hey Pete, the other day you made it sound like it was going to be an absolute long shot for Jordan Brooks to be able to play this weekend, but he's listed as questionable. Has he turned the corner a little bit the last few days?
I just walked off the field with him, and he is feeling a lot better, and he has made a turn. So it's positive. You know, again, with that week next week looming, it's kind of hard to not utilize that for some of these guys, and so that's in the back of my mind for sure.
Tim?
Along those same lines, how did Quinton get through the week, and do you expect him to be able to go?
Yeah, he did. He did real well, particularly yesterday in practice, in a full go practice, and there's a really good chance that he's going to be ready to go.
Would he probably be on a little bit of a pitch count and probably splitting time with Trey, even if does play?
Gotta wait and see.
Jen Mueller.
I'm going to keep the injury questions going. Carlos Hyde, did he make it through the week better than last week? And how did last week just kind of help him get right?
Well, both of the weeks have been good for him in that he's, you know, like I've said to you, he's been able to work and get good speed work done and timing and all of that. We just have to make the decision on whether or not he's going to be safe to go. And we don't want to set him back at all knowing we have a big break coming. And so he's another one of those guys that kind of falls into that kind of consideration. He probably could play in this game, and we know that, and so he's got to do some politicking here on the way out through the weekend and see how that conversation goes all the way up to Sunday.
Joe Fan.
Hey, Jamal mentioned on his podcast that he was having a tough time with being hurt, and there was times where, you know, he had a tough time being in the meeting rooms, and he had some conversations with you, and what is that like with a player where you gotta let him know that you got to get right and you're not letting us down, but it's kind of part of the whole thing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really hard on him because he's so competitive, and he's at the far end of the spectrum in the kind of energy that he brings and operates with, and his expectations are so high and all. To have to deal with the frustration of not being able to express all of that is really difficult, and I recognize that only as a strength, you know, and a positive, and also we've worked our way through it, and that's why I made the declaration for him, you know, early, so we're not hanging with it during the week. We want to make sure and get him right. That was just so that he can get really focused on the work he's done. He's applying himself to his rehab like he does on the football field, and so he's really going for it, and he's going to be ready next turn, just not this one.
Masvita.
Hey, Pete, how has the offensive line been able to stay consistent and just, you know, play so well? Because they're the ones that are opening all this.
Well, I mean, you kind of said it. The consistency that they've had to play together has really helped, and particularly with the shortened offseason and all of that. that was a big question mark, probably the key question mark that we had, is how fast could these guys come together. So we had to make an early decision to give Damian a shot to go for it. And we just went on the limited information that we had and the expectations and the hopes that we had, and it turned out great, and it really made a difference. I think also making an earlier commitment than maybe we thought we would to Ethan helped also, and so that he could get the communications and make sure that he was captaining that, you know, that front and all of the conversation that is so crucial to the position. He's done a great job of, and so we lucked out a little bit in a couple early decisions on those guys that kept us with the same guys working, and you can see there's continuity and there's confidence growing, and we're just getting started, so we're really looking forward to continuing to improve.
Greg?
Pete, there's some folks around the league floating the idea of maybe self-bubbling teams, 32 bubbles that travel around here the next 4 months now that more teams have gotten infected. I know you said you're virtually in a bubble, or your mindset is that. Do you see any value in putting players in hotels and locking them down in a team-run facility between games?
I don't at this point, because we've gone close to 60 straight days, you know, of everybody maintaining. Now that, you know, the odds just, you know, they continue to grow, that, you know, it gets more difficult. You know, it doesn't get easier, it gets probably more difficult, just more variables that can enter in. But you know, we've had great communications with our guys. They have, you know, expressed how they're doing it and how they're making it in their you know, living setup, and you know, we have no reason not to trust that they get it. Now we just have to stay with it, and so this is a bubble, you know, of sorts. I mean, that's how we're living, and what has to happen is our awareness and our attendance have to be on, so that we don't allow somebody to get into us. And so that's we've given them a really good format and a process for anybody that does have to come from outside in, so that we can test people and prepare them and give them, you know, our own protocol to let anybody close to us. And so we just have to maintain it. I don't think we have to change. I don't think that's going to make us better. You know, and there's other issues when you close in too, that if you can't get that organized, it can be a problem. So we're going to keep, you know, keeping our fingers crossed, but we're going to work really, really hard and stay on it. And, you know, I have to do, you know, the best job to just keep the message alive and keep it going. And then everybody in the support system around has to continue to work. And there's uncomfortable things that we have to do and say and hold on to, you know, that you wouldn't choose naturally. You know, you have to be more concerned and more focused. And so it's just a great challenge of discipline and really diligence. And so, you know, I don't think we need to change it. I think we need to just keep doing it.
For fans that know Pete, what are you telling the players when they go home? They can't have anybody beyond immediate family members. They can't go to restaurants. It has to be takeout or delivery. What kind of everyday restrictions do they have?
Yeah, everything that you can think of, everything that you can think of, we can't let anybody from the outside in come into us until we've cleared them. So, like, if. And we've really totally discouraged any visitors coming into town. And we've, you know, I've always put it on me, you know, Coach Carroll won't let us have visitors or whatever. This is not that season, you know, when you get to do that. But if indeed there is going to be somebody coming in, then we have a whole protocol for how we have arranged for our guys, so that they just let us know. As long as they let us know, then we'll take care of it, and we'll get everything cleared. And it is about the discipline of the habits of, and we know that gathering places is the biggest issue, you know, and those are, unfortunately, the restaurants, you know, that are closed in and all, those are really difficult settings for people, and you have masks down when you're eating and all of that. So those are just the most difficult settings, so our guys have to be disciplined with that. But we also have to give them alternatives too, to make their, you know, make their choices easier. And the job that the people in food service have done is remarkable. I mean, it's amazing that we've been able to do what we're doing and give the guys choices, and they're okay about it. They're not, you know, if the food was bad, then it would be different, but that's not the case. So guys are hanging with it. Now, we've finished one quarter of the season, you know, so we're just getting going. And so The cool thing is that we know, and they have the conscience. It's the conscience that they got to hold on to. We have that working for us, and we just have to keep staying with it and hope that nobody strays. And you know, we're really on point. Everybody's on point.
I'm sorry to belabor it. Are they allowed? They're not allowed to eat at restaurants. You give them food to take home, or it's only delivery, or.
We're discouraging all of the, you know, eating out. Yeah.
Thanks.
And I hate to say that because, you know, for all the people that are trying to make their living, right, you know, with the restaurants and all that, but that's just how we've had to do it and govern it. And there's just so much at stake for everybody that we just, that's one of the deals that we've had to go with.
Thank you.
One other thing, it doesn't mean you don't get to eat great food from restaurants either. You just don't get to go sit in there. That's the deal.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Art?
And. No, go ahead. Next.
Pete, if I had told you a few years back that you were going to have a 4-0 team but be last in the league statistically in defense, would you have bought it?
No, I probably would have challenged that thought. You know, it's interesting. I go back every week and go back and look at our defense and our offense again near the end of the week, Thursday and Friday. And that's to look at it. You know, and from the perspective of you're away from the game and away from the evaluations and away from the scheme evaluation, and to see what our opponents are looking at. And I came away from my work with the defense today. I finished this morning. I'm proud of the way these guys are playing. They're playing hard as hell. They're working hard at the principles of the defense. They're giving us the efforts that makes a difference. There's playmaking out there. Our numbers just aren't what we like. So as long as we keep getting better and we keep working and you feel good about the way that the guys are going about it and the way we're practicing and the way the coaches are teaching, then, this is just what we have to live with. It just happens to be this season. They aren't all the same, you know. But I would have been hard-pressed to say, oh, yeah, well, you know, we could be, you know, giving up whatever we're giving up in passing yardage and be able to win the games. But I would have said, well, what's our turnover ratio? And that's the first question I should ask you. We're up there. We're not at the top yet. We're second, but we're getting there. We're knocking on the door.
Ben?
Pete, what have you seen from both Travis Homer to start the season and DJ Dallas, who had his first offensive snaps?
Yeah, first off, Travis is a unique player. He's a really unique player that singled himself out last year early on. Because of his approach to the game, he's really tough and he's really explosively strong and fast and he knows how to play the game and show what he's all about. He shows his strengths when he plays. It showed up really early in camp and then into the special teams work. We put him in charge of the punt team and he could take the responsibility. All of that. By the time he got a chance to play last year, we were so convinced that he was going to do fine and we wouldn't have any problem with him because he had shown us. We weren't surprised at all how he did. Well, he kind of brought his little brother in with him. You know, when DJ got here, those guys were buddies back at home and playing at the U. And DJ has a big personality. He's got real versatility to him. What I couldn't appreciate through the process of getting him here was how tough a guy he is as well. Those two guys are just feed off of one another, and they're a great pair. And so the fact that here they are, you know, playing in games and they're contributing and all that, there's nobody that they care for more than the other guy. And they're really like the Griffin brothers almost. You know, they're that close And so there's something special about these guys, and we love what they're doing. And so we're looking for chances for them to help us in a lot of different ways. So they're a really good pair.
Curtis?
Hey, Pete, Leno, with his back, are you surprised he hasn't bounced back as quick? Was there any other setback he had, or is he getting pretty close for you at this point?
No, he has not been able to make the turn. He's got some issues that he's dealing with that it seems to be kind of, you know, in a pattern where it's not changing much. So we're concerned about him getting right. There's not much he can do. He's got some, I don't want to talk about it, but he's got some stuff that he's dealing with that he just has to get through and it has to resolve. And if it doesn't, then it could be a long-term deal for him. So we just got to get him, you know, one day to the next and see what happens. And his attitude is really good and all, but he's not getting the relief that we would like to see happen. And so he's not looking like he's going to be able to get back. If he does, and he'll pop it, pop back when he comes. He can, you know, he can run, he can do a lot of things, but there's some issues that he has. So there's always, there's a question about him each week right now.
And how did Mike Iupati make it through for you?
Mike came back today and felt okay. We took care of him today, but he just had some lower back, little spasms or something that jumped up and resolved real quickly.
Thank you, everyone.
See you.
That was Seahawks head coach Pete Carroll. You were just hearing. Right now, we're going to do our NFL picks. So what's going to happen is Tom, Jake, and I are going to go through. We're going to make our picks, and then we're going to let a caller make his or her picks, and you guys can battle it out. So here's the number, 866-979-3776 or 206-421-3776. Again, 206-421-3776. First caller will have you do picks with us. All right, so let's go through these, you guys. Raiders at Chiefs, who you got?
Raiders at Chiefs. I am going to have to go with the Kansas City Chiefs, of course.
Yep.
I think the Raiders are too up and down, and I don't really see them posing much of a threat to the Kansas City Chiefs and Mahomes.
You know what? If this game were on the road at Vegas and there were fans, I think Vegas actually has enough firepower to make this game interesting. But given that it's at home, I got to go with KC.
I'm also going KC. Unanimous decision there. Next up, Eagles at Steelers. I'll get this one started. Steelers defense has been great this season. I'm going with Pittsburgh.
Okay, you're going with Pittsburgh. I am going to go right there along with you as well, Stacey. The Eagles are just such a mess right now.
Yeah,
I mean, you just look at them offensively, defensively. Well, really, if you think about it, their offensive line, if the last 2 years, it has been horrible in terms of the luck that they have had with the health of their offensive line. I mean, it's absolutely brutal. So from that standpoint, the Steelers, they are playing tremendous defense right now. I think that the Steelers are going to roll in this one.
Yeah, Steelers are one of those franchises that you just want to be. Like, you're always right there. Even when you're not great, you're still good. You're a threat every week. You'll probably make the playoffs. I mean, Seahawks are like that, too, quite honestly. But, yeah, I'll go Pittsburgh.
All right, next up here, you got Dolphins at 49ers. Miami still rolling with Fitz at quarterback. 49ers are finally going to get Jimmy G back. He'll be starting for San Francisco. I'm going to go for the 49ers. I think they looked pretty decent without him playing a struggling Miami offense. You're not going to like it, but I'm going San Francisco.
Well, I was going to pick San Francisco before this as well, even without Jimmy Garoppolo. And now that you have Jimmy G back, I really believe that you're going to have the 49ers at a point where they're starting to hopefully for themselves, not necessarily Seahawks fans, that they're going to start getting healthier as the weeks go on. So I'm picking 49ers as well, Stacey.
All right.
Debo questionable but expected to play. We'll go with that.
All right. You guys, we've had all unanimous decisions so far. Let's see
These
if this one is.
That great.
Well, listen, Tom, they're going to be great, okay? You're going to take what you get and you're going to like it. Like the stern mom right now. All right, Colts at Browns. Let's see. I think this is where we're going to differ. Colts defense has been pretty good. Browns had some firepower their last week. Jarvis Landry, league's top passer right now. But I'm going to go Indy on this. I think their defense keeps Baker Mayfield at bay.
Okay. Going to go Indy. I am going to say the Cleveland Browns. I'm taking the Cleveland Browns. I think that the way that they're playing it has been really good with the fact that they've been able to run the football. They've been able to do it at a high level with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. So I'm going to pick the Cleveland Browns to win in this one.
Tom, you're the
Browns
tiebreaker.
At home. Yeah, and man, Browns held on last week. Colts. I used to live in Indy. I got a soft spot for them.
All right. Jake, you lose. So sad. Too bad. We're bringing on Vish in Seattle. Vish, how are you?
Oh, how are you guys?
Good. Okay, we're going to have you go through and make your picks. So I'll get you started with Raiders at Chiefs.
Raiders at Chiefs. You got to go with the Chiefs.
Chiefs. All right. We're all on the same page so far. How about Eagles at Steelers?
Steelers.
Steelers so far the same. Dolphins at 49ers.
49ers.
All right. Colts at Browns.
So can I ask you a question real quick? Am
yeah.
I supposed, like, do I win something if, like, I do better than you guys? Like, should I pick something different here? Or, like,
just pride. Just pride
just
of taking
pride,
us three
beach.
Down.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's just for pride, then, yeah, let's go with the
now you're taking risks.
I was going to say Indy, but, you know, I got to beat you guys.
All right. Cleveland. Okay.
Getting wild and crazy.
So we did go with Indy, but what I'm going to do, Vish, is I'm going to have you guess the winner between Seattle and Minnesota, and I'm also going to have you give me a score.
Okay, so got to go Seattle.
Of course.
I'm going to say it's going to be 31 to 27.
Woo, close game. Mm. All right.
Close game.
Vish, stay on the line. Make sure you get your information to Curtis just in case. Thanks for playing with us.
Thanks, Vish.
All
Should
right.
Should we pick a score?
Yeah, let's do it. You know what? I'll let Tom, why don't you go for it? Now you look scared.
Teacher calls on
you. Got to
no,
do it.
Fine. I have a good prediction
okay.
for the score.
All right.
It's going to be 32
okay.
to 18.
Woo! What a specific score, Tom. I like it. All right. Let's see here. And obviously we are picking Seattle to win that matchup. Just by the way, Seattle Seahawks under Pete Carroll, 5-0 against the Minnesota Vikings so far. Best primetime record in the NFL. We already know that. But on the flip side, Minnesota's primetime record, not great. So I think we're all feeling good about that. Let's get to what's on tap. Curtis is taking the information. I'm just going to roll with it. You got the Yankees versus Rays, Game 5. Yankees versus Rays, Game 5 tonight at 6 p.m. on 710 ESPN Seattle. I will say there were some clunkers. I know we're using that word throughout the day of playoff games a bit earlier, but Padres and Dodgers was fantastic. Did you guys watch that?
Nah, but it's 3-0. Dodgers swept that series.
Well, I know, but I'm saying, did you watch the game?
You know, I
did
not.
Tom, you let me down. Of all people, I was hoping you would, Tom.
Nah, I was doing something. I was getting a massage.
What?
I was.
All right. I'll also say that you have a chance to win because we're going to be playing Vikings coming up here next. Now, as you guys know, this is a weekly game show. We do it every single Friday where Jake and Tom can face off. Neither of them are also winning prizes. It's all for pride and bragging rights. Jake won last
week.
That's
all I
want. That's all it is. Jake won last week. We'll see if Tom can take him this week. That's next on Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
Vikings.
Curtis! I wanted to pick the longest horn possible.
You outdid yourself this week. That was beautiful, my friend.
Thank you.
It was beautiful.
Wow.
All right,
well
as
done.
You guys know,
well done.
It's the weekly game show where we preview Seattle's upcoming opponents, so we're going to have questions about head-to-head, history, etc. Jake goes against Tom every single week because I'm so smart. I would answer every question correctly, and it would be unfair. So, Tom, you are keeping score, yes?
Tom versus Jake.
So that I am not once again accused of bias... In my very unbiased test, I will let you guys choose who goes first.
Jake, go ahead.
Okay.
All right. Jake, Russell Wilson and Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins are both members of the 2012 NFL draft class, but which of the two quarterbacks was drafted first that year?
Kirk Cousins.
No. Oh, you hate to see it, Jake. Jake, you train this guy. Russell Wilson.
Yes, I do. I just assume he was picked behind everybody.
You know what they say when you assume? Silly nilly.
Yes, you get question one wrong.
I do.
Yeah, you get question one wrong. That's what they say. Wilson was 75th overall to Seattle. Kirk Cousins went 102nd overall to Washington.
This is not the start I wanted.
Question number two, Tom. Tommy Wassel, Russell Wilson needs 21 pass completions to pass this quarterback in Seahawks' all-time pass completions record. This is in franchise history. Jake's mad because he knows the answer.
Matt Hasselbeck.
Yes. Matt Hasselbeck has 2,559 career pass completions. Russell Wilson with 21 would get to 2,560. Phenomenal numbers. Jake, between the Minnesota Vikings and Seattle Seahawks, which of these two defenses has more sacks on the 2020 season?
The Minnesota Vikings do.
Correct. Not by much. The Minnesota Vikings have 7 sacks, Yannick Ngakoue leading them with 4 of those. Seattle has 2, led by Jamal Adams, who has 2. Seattle has 6, led by Jamal Adams, who has 2. Tom, this is a good one for you. From 1989, what a year, to 1993, Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer was the defensive coordinator at which school in our state? Tom.
From 1989 to 92.
Yeah, great years.
He was a defensive coordinator. Oh, no.
Tom.
Go Cougs.
That was actually the buzzer for any Coug-related answer. That
Go
is correct.
Cougs.
It is Washington State. He spent 4 years in Pullman and was then under then-head coach Mike Price and coordinated the legendary, oh, gosh, oh, no. Kyle, I'm sorry. I struggle with this. Onward to question number 5.
Palouse Posse.
I struggle with pronouncing many forms of alliteration.
Try it. Sound it out.
Palouse Posse.
There you go.
Palouse Posse.
I can't. Okay. Jake, with
Good
Stephon
job.
Diggs now in Buffalo, who leads the Vikings in receiving yards this season? I almost just read the answer. I'm struggling right now. Sorry. It's been a long day for me.
It's okay. It's okay.
It's not okay.
Gosh, this is a tough one because you're looking at, I would assume.
Jake, you're buying
Adam
time,
Thielen.
Jake. You're buying time.
You caught me. It seems too obvious, so I'm going to go with Justin Jefferson, the rookie.
It is rookie wide receiver Justin Jefferson, who leads the team with 348 receiving yards, also ninth in the NFL. Adam Thielen has 284. So it's a pretty healthy lead for the rookie. That was aided, by the way, in week 3. I think he had like 175, something ridiculous. Tom, since 2010, you're getting all the history ones here. Since 2010, the Seahawks have hosted 23 primetime games. How many of those games have they won? This is multiple choice. 15, 18, 20, or 22?
22. Out of how many? 29?
Out of 23, they have won 15, 18, 20, 22.
They've won 18.
No. Ah! Oh, no.
Yes!
No. Evening up the score. They're 20-3 in primetime games at CenturyLink Field since 2010. Jake, Pete Carroll
spent... CenturyLink. I'm sorry. I misheard the question.
No, Tom, that doesn't change anything. Since 2010.
Yeah, it changes everything.
Since 2010. Jake. Pete Carroll spent 5 seasons on the Vikings coaching staff from 1985 to 1989. Great year. What was his job title?
Defensive backs coach.
Yes. He got his first defensive coordinator job with the Jets in 1990. Tom, Pete Carroll's Seahawks have faced the Vikings 5 times. What's their record against Minnesota under Pete Carroll? You must get this one right to get to the tiebreaker or bonus, or Jake will take it.
On your feet.
I don't know what word you're saying, Tom. You're on radio and you have a pen in your mouth.
I'm just having some fun. They're undefeated.
We literally said that early in the show.
We
gave that answer early in the show.
So sorry, Jake, your mic is cutting out.
Come on.
I can't hear anything. Let's get to the tiebreaker. Here's how it's going to work. I am going to read the question. We are going to go back and forth, each of you giving an answer, until someone cannot answer anymore. Do we understand the rules? Here we go. Let's see. I am going to... give a question to see who can buzz in first, and then that'll determine who gets the first chance. When we did our pie segment, which flavor of pie did I say was awful? Say your name to answer.
Tom.
Tom.
Apple pie.
Yes, this is correct. All right, Tom, you go first. Here's the question. Since their last trip to the Super Bowl in 1975, the Vikings have been to 6 NFC championship games and are 0-6. Ah, that's a bummer. Name the opponents they've lost to.
Oh, my gosh.
In conference championships?
NFC yes. championships. Yep.
Okay. I'm just going to write about it. They've lost to the Saints.
We're going one each, right?
Yeah, so one each. So yeah. We go until someone can't answer anymore.
Oh, okay.
Saints. So you're correct, Tom, with the Saints.
Okay, Jake. A team they have lost to in the NFC championship game.
Oh, my gosh.
Jake.
Oh, my gosh. I'm
Jake,
so
guess
nervous.
An NFC okay, team, Jake.
Okay, they have... Oh, my gosh. I don't know, but they're within the division. Maybe the Green Bay Packers?
Oh, no.
Did I just win?
You just won, Tom. You just did it. Tom, do you think you can guess any more?
I can... Saints... Giants,
yep.
Falcons,
yep.
Washington yep. in 87.
Yeah.
Yep. There's two
this
more.
This is
There's
right up
more.
His alley.
There was one a
I
couple
know.
Years ago.
Jake, you had a chance, and then you didn't know enough about Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Philadelphia. Yeah.
Yep. There's one more.
And then, let me think. Would it be in the 70s? Let's see. Maybe Dallas?
Correct.
Yes,
you got
Tom!
Them all.
Yeah.
Oh, Jake. Jake, do you feel better knowing you never had a chance?
No, because I did have a chance to win if I just would have actually thought about it for a second. And
I love this game. I love it every week. It's so fun. All
good
right.
job, Tom.
Jake,
good game.
We've
good game.
Evened up the series. We've evened up the series. Here we go. Don't forget, next week we'll have Bye Bye Bye, Cue NSYNC Sound, where we'll go ahead and quiz you guys on the first 5 weeks of the Seahawks season. It'll be fun. Ooh. Everyone can play. These will be answers we should all know. So we'll get ready. That'll be next Friday. We sum it up next on Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
The wait is over.
Heck of a way they missed.
It's time to sum it up with Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Shot clock turned off.
The final word on everything that matters today in sports.
Step back.
Welcome back into Tom, Jake, and Stacey. Don't forget, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app, powered by Dubin Law Group. Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Ross here. Once again, Tom, congratulations on your victory in our weekly game show. This week's was Vikings, Vikings, Vikings. Curtis, don't you dare play that foghorn again.
Don't tempt me.
Don't do it. It is.
Don't you
it
do
is
it.
Excessively long for don't. Curtis? Anyways, Tom, Curtis! Tom, congratulations. It's very exciting. I
still
take
can't believe it.
I can't either. I want to take a second to look back at what we called the biggest opportunity and biggest challenge for the Seattle Seahawks facing the Minnesota Vikings. We decided, and I think rightfully so, it sounds simple, but the biggest opportunity is just a chance to enter the bye week at 5-0. It would be the first time in franchise history, which, yeah, is a really cool accomplishment. But also, you have a chance to get a head start in an NFC race where only one team, the team with the best record, gets a bye week. Jake, I know that you've talked about just forever how important that would be to just go into the week undefeated.
It would be huge. And when you talk about the way that the schedules are setting up, I mean, really, the Green Bay Packers is the team that in the NFC, as of right now, that you're really competing with for that potential number one seed. You have both offenses that are cranking, two quarterbacks that are playing at a very, very high level and playing complementary football. So the opportunity to go 5-0 heading into the bye week, where then in that bye, you're going to be able to get all pretty much your entire roster healthy, hopefully, after this game. That would be a huge accomplishment for this organization. And you got to feel pretty good about where you would be at offensively, being one of the most feared offenses in football. Defensively, hopefully coming and walking away from this game 5-0 and building upon what you did the previous week and becoming a more stable unit that can be relied upon. I think that those things, as you look at the outlook of the importance of this game, this would be huge for this team.
Yeah, and I said this earlier, and I don't want to, like, press this point too much because I really hope it doesn't happen. I hope that there aren't cancellations of games because of COVID. But we're at that point in the season where we're starting to run into issues here and there with guys testing positive. Titans have already run into it. So if by the end of the season we end up in a situation where in the NFC West the Seahawks have played, say, one more game than everybody else, and it happens to be a win, like the difference between 12-4 and 11-4, for example, this is like one of those games that you want to get that win in, right? Last week was another one, Miami. You don't want to drop this kind of game to a very beatable Minnesota team and look back weeks from now, months from now, and say, ah, what happened in that Minnesota game? How did we not get that one? How did we allow Kirk Cousins to throw all over us? How did they manage to stop Russell Wilson? Why did he have to throw that last pick? You know, whatever it would end up being, this is one of those games you want to win and, like, forget that you ever had to play it. It's one of those.
Now, before I get to the greatest challenge, just a quick update. Some injury updates in a final game kind of report came out during our show, so I'll get you guys caught up with that. So far, just the one player, Jamal Adams, has been declared out. He was declared out earlier in Pete Carroll's press conference on, I believe, Wednesday. So we've known for a couple days that he wouldn't play, but I guess the good news is that no one else has been officially ruled out. In fact, no one's doubtful for the game. You've got five players who are questionable. Safety Lano Hill, who's missed a couple games. Linebacker Jordan Brooks, who I don't think we were expecting to play. Running back Carlos Hyde. Guard Mike Iupati. Cornerback Quentin Dunbar. Pete Carroll sounded optimistic about both Iupati and Dunbar, which is great news for a Seattle team going against the Minnesota Vikings, a team that I think is better than their one-win record. So let's talk about what makes them good, because we all agreed it's going to be Seattle's biggest challenge, and that's Dalvin Cook.
Real quick, though, because you mentioned Dunbar.
Yeah.
If I had known yesterday that Pete was optimistic that he had a
You wouldn't have called him the Ziggy Ansah.
I wouldn't have done that, and I might have even made my bold take that he goes out there and has a monster game.
Tom, you said what you said. All right.
Yes.
You have
you can't
to stand
take
by.
It back.
You can't take it back. No take backs.
I won't. But
no take backs.
I got new information.
No. No. Absolutely
this,
not.
You know, I said this earlier in the show that it would really encourage me if he was able to go in this game just to signify that his knee injury isn't severe, right? That it's so long of time for him to be taking off that you start to wonder if that knee is a very serious knee issue that will linger throughout the season, and maybe he misses even more games because of it. Mm-hmm. For him to be able to get back potentially in this game would be a huge one, and to be able to and to go against two pretty dynamic receivers, it would be awesome to have Quentin Dunbar back into the mix here. Just one more added weapon. And then the other thing is, Pete, I feel like he's being coy with Damon Harrison. You know, he doesn't want to
quite
reveal that.
Pete sounded kind of doubtful about him.
Correct. It may sound doubtful, but maybe he's being a little coy here. That's what I would, at least that's what I'm hoping is the case here.
It'll be interesting because they've been really stout against the run, a place where Damon Harrison would certainly provide another boost, but they also haven't been tested a ton. Teams have been averaging about 22 carries per game against them, which is fourth fewest in the league. So I think they're going to really be tested with Dalvin Cook. It'll be interesting to Jake to see if Damon Harrison is out there, because I think I just assumed he's 31 years old. He's, you know, a guy coming in. Who knows what kind of shape he's in. He's going into his ninth year, so he's a veteran. He knows how to do this. Like, a playbook isn't going to be a problem, but is he going to be physically ready? So, for background information for listeners, Pete Carroll kind of hinted at him potentially not being ready this week, but I like the idea of a little bit of a mental battle going on here from Pete Carroll, Jake, of him kind of playing it coy a bit. Tom, I know you'd be excited to see him out there.
Look, I'd love to see him out there, and they better be good at something. Like, if you can't stop the run or the pass, and you can't sack anybody, then you have nothing to go on, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, if they can't stop the pass, but they've got guys like Bobby and KJ,
then you can make teams
who can get there to make tackles, or right. Ugo or whoever, Damon Harrison in the middle. Like, if they've got all those guys who are good at what they do and still can't stop the run, that's a problem, even if it is Dalvin Cook. I really believe in their ability to do that.
I agree. I think it's going to also add some bite behind the bark of, like, on paper, you look great against the run. You're one of the best teams. And it feels a little better for fans to say the pass defense is really struggling versus the defense can't help you win a game. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
It just feels better to say, oh, the pass defense, but you've got some guys getting healthier and coming back. If you say the defense as a whole, it feels just disheartening. It feels like you don't know what's going to happen and everything's making you nervous. But I think that they can prove, if they can contain Dalvin Cook, because Minnesota will turn to him. Like, they will turn to him before Kirk Cousins.
No question. Yeah, this is a moment. This is a game. If you're talking about this run defense, statistically, they look fantastic. I still say that they are unproven in this area. They have yet to play a team that is committed to running the football throughout the entire four quarters. The offense has put their defense in a pretty good position in terms of teams wanting to run the football on them because they've gotten up to early leads and then teams needing to pass the ball on top of it. So this will be a game where you look at it, and I think as Tom's trying to show off his David Tyree jersey here, this is a game that the defense has an opportunity to show that they are for real when it comes to stopping the run. And if I'm Bobby Wagner, if I'm KJ Wright, if I'm Jaron Reed, anybody in this front seven, these are the types of games you live for, knowing that the opponent is trying to run the ball, trying to play smash mouth football. This is your opportunity to flex and show just how dominant you can be.
All right. Gotta wrap up.
We're all feeling good about it, you guys. We're all feeling good. Feels like a win.
Have a tackling plan, Tom.
Yeah,
Tom. Gotta run your feet, baby.
Tom, have your tackling plan. Let them know. All right, we will talk to you guys Monday after what will hopefully be a Seahawks victory. We'll be recapping the game. Thanks for joining us today. This has been Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle.